welcome to another edition of Your Money Matters. My name is Mark Cunaberti. I'd like to thank Zelmer Law Group, a real estate and business law firm with offices on Broad Street and Nevada City, also Santa Rosa. Jay Zelmer has been practicing law in California since 1983. Information, ZelmerLawGroup.com. Big thanks goes out to Jen for another edition of Dream Walk. Please be advised that discussions in this show should not be construed as specific recommendations or investment advice. Always consult with your investment professional before making important investment decisions. I'm an investment advisor representative through Cambridge Investment Research Advisors Incorporated, a registered investment advisor. Indices mentioned are unmanaged and cannot be invested into directly. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. Investing involves risk. Depending on the types of investments, there may be varying degrees of risk. Investors should be prepared to bear loss, including total loss of principal. And remember, the views expressed are my opinions only. They do not necessarily reflect those of Cambridge. This station and staff members are underwriters.
Keep your hands off of my stack.
And welcome to the 304th show of Money Matters, your economic forum. My name's Mark Cunaberti, your host today. Today's show is entitled The Corona Carnage Continues. Money Matters is about money, as money does matter, and matters of money affect us all in some way or another. Whether you have a lot of it, a little of it, or none of it, it controls our economy, our country, our planet, in some way or another, controls the very way we live our lives. It's about your money, your lack of it, or abundance of it. It's about our lives and livelihood. In short, it's about you. We having fun yet? Yes, we are. Anyway, portion of this show, sometimes we call Investing in Community. And we cover businesses, elections, when the program director allows me to, nonprofits, and all the things happening around the county. And today, I have in the studio some guests today from the CARE Crisis Center. We have Judy Mosley, the volunteer coordinator, and Lynn Warner, the executive director. Good morning, ladies. How are you?
Good. Good morning.
Thanks, Mark. Thanks for having us.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. So, CARE Crisis Center. All right. So, what is the CARE Crisis Center?
It stands for Kids Assistance and Respite in Emergencies. So, we're a nursery that takes little ones ages 0 through 5 when their families are having any kind of a crisis or emergency. We keep the kids safe and happy and good while the parents focus on whatever they need to focus on.
Okay, and so you're the executive director. You must be busy.
I am, and we are very busy.
All right, and Judy Mosley, welcome, volunteer coordinator.
Thank you.
Okay, so how did the CARE Crisis Center start, and what is your thrust of support for the community?
We have had over 3,000 children since we opened in 2005 to provide services for. It started when the local Sir Optimus groups heard a presentation from the Sacramento Crisis Nursery and felt that our community could really benefit from something like this. And so they dug in and got it going.
Where are you located?
It's a confidential location. We are between Grass Valley and Nevada City.
Okay.
We act as a safe house sometimes. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I think we covered, it was the Woman Against Violence, where they had sort of the same thing. It was
Women
Confidential. Okay, and so how do you support people that are going to be in need of your services?
In any way we can. It's mostly word of mouth.
Okay.
The way we get our clients. We do an intake interview at the very beginning, and we get as much of their information and needs as we can capture so that we know where to refer them, how to help them the best. We do all kinds of things, even down to doing laundry for homeless folks.
You have outreach then? People go out in the community? And
we don't.
You don't? Okay.
No,
okay.
We'd be way too busy if we did.
Okay. And how many people on the staff?
Right now we just have 4 of us. So we're really short-staffed. And
working hard. Hence the reason you're here.
Hard. Yeah, because we also do a supervised visitation program.
Okay. So, okay. Do you have, Judy, do you have plenty of volunteers? You always need more, right?
Well, we always need more. One of the things that attracted me to CARE Crisis, and the reason I wanted to get involved, is because they have a lot of really fun community events. Mm-hmm. They're doing it to raise money, but they're also having a lot of fun at it. So I got involved because I'm also the volunteer coordinator for the Children's Festival, and I thought I could help out by rounding people up and organizing them at different events.
Is that the one that goes on at Sierra College every year?
No, it's at Pioneer Park once a summer, one day every summer.
Is that one they set back in the woods there?
Yes,
I used to bring my kids to that.
It's a Renaissance. Fair. I'll be back later this year to talk to you about that.
The Renaissance Fair?
Yeah.
Okay. What other events have you had during the year?
Our most recent one was our Oktoberfest.
Okay.
Which is great. At Pioneer Park again.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a great turnout, a lot of fun, great music, great food. And now we have an upcoming one. Our Jambalaya and Jazz is this Friday.
Okay. Do you have a website?
We do. www.carecrisisnursery, all one word, .org.
Spelled with a C.
Spelled with a K-A-R-E-C-A-R-E. No, K-A-R-E-C-R-I-S-I-S.
All right. That's .com?
.org.
.org. Okay. And so the two of you working together, I suppose, on the volunteer basis, what are you looking for? Just bodies?
Mostly just bodies. Like at Oktoberfest, mm-hmm. we need people there at the event at Pioneer Park, help serve food, all sorts of stuff. I got involved just before Jambalaya and Jazz, which mm-hmm. is actually happening tomorrow.
It is tomorrow.
And we do have...
Came quick, huh?
Yeah.
We do have volunteers lined up for tomorrow, but still we thought it would be a good opportunity to tell the rest of the community about the event.
Okay. And you have a phone number?
Yep. 265-0693.
0693-530-265. Are you looking for any other type of support?
We love any kind of support. Okay. I always tell people who call to volunteer, you tell me your skills and we'll find a place for you.
Okay, great. Did you get any grants or anything from public entities?
Some.
Okay.
They're kind of few and far between and difficult. Grantors want a new program and we want to keep doing what we're doing. So
there you go. My name is Mark Cunabrudi. You listen to Money Matters. I'm here. Guest in the studio, Judy Mosley. Volunteer coordinator for the Care Crisis, and Lynn Warner, their executive director. Before I let you go, did you have anything else you want to add?
Did you have anything?
Well, there's still tickets available if you want to attend Jambalaya and Jazz.
Get them on the website?
That's right.
Okay. On eventbrite.com.
Okay. Eventbrite, okay.
Eventbrite.
Okay. You can get information about the event on our website.
Yep. And then kind of link over.
And then also SPD in Nevada City has tickets, and bookseller in Grass Valley.
Can they get tickets at the door?
Not at the door.
We're trying not to
because we have the whole dinner. We had to give them our numbers and we're...
Yeah. So exactly, to tell me the whole scope of the event then.
It's going to be, we're going to have a whole big Cajun buffet dinner.
Ooh.
Jambalaya and beans and rice and salad and jalapeno chili cornbread from Emily's Catering. And then we have some live auctions, silent auctions. We have some great jazz entertainment, which happens to be my daughter, Karen Warner. And
you
Justin
can plug her.
Eli.
It's okay.
It's going to be fun. There's guitar. There's harmonica. And then we have some other musicians, George Cutter and Robert. So it's just a really fun evening.
All right.
All in support of the nursery. So.
Okay. Judy, did you want to add anything before I let you go?
No, but I sure appreciate you having us and supporting the community this way.
It's our pleasure. Okay, so Judy Mosley, volunteer coordinator, Lynn Warner, executive director of Care Crisis there. Website, www.carecrisis.org. Phone number, 530-265-0693. Ladies, it's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
We'll be right back with some market analysis on this crazy market. We'll be right back. Okay, so welcome to another edition of Money Matters. Okay, so here we go again. Are we having fun yet? Yes, we are. Okay, so let's talk about what's happening. These large numbers, as we do cover in every show, large numbers below us, above us, et cetera, support and resistance levels. What that means is we're at 25,966 on the Dow. There are other indexes, the NASDAQ, the Russell, and the S&P 500, but the big one that makes the news is the Dow. And these, when I say support and resistance levels, sometimes these larger numbers, like the 1,000 numbers, 25,000, 26,000, 27,000, can be viewed by technical analysts who believe there's validity in watching such things. Think that if we're at 25,966, we're right between the 25,000s and the 26,000. So 26,000 right now, maybe because we came down to it today, being down 1,124 on the Dow. That is 4.15%, which is significant. You know, it's a significant correction. 25,000, the 25,000 level below us now, where 25,966 would be another major support level. 26,000, because we came down through it today, that is a support level, so it might stick here. If it breaks through 26,000 into the 25s, then, you know, the technical analysts that believe in such things would think that 25,000 would be the next major support level. Now, there are a lot of smaller support and resistance levels that these technical analysts, what we call chartists, look at. But right now, if we close below 26,000, if we close below it, then 26,000 would become a minor resistance level. It would have to bust up back through there. To cross the next threshold. So just think it as milestones, okay? So what is causing this? Well, we all know, you know, as approved by regulators and said on every show in the last probably three shows, a pendant article, did a couple of shows and a couple of articles on the fact before this all started, I'd put out on the show and on multiple media publications that I thought the market was not fully pricing in the risk of this virus. And I supported that by saying that this virus had hit and it was a global phenomenon where a tsunami or a 9/11 is a one-off event. It hits and it's over, right? And it will, you know, impart a shock to the system. This thing kind of materialized kind of slowly, and we had a Dow new high, yet the coronavirus was out there. And I looked at the Chinese GDP on the SARS virus. SARS happened in 2003. It sickened, I don't know, close to 20,000 people, and had about a 9% mortality rate. So it was scary, but it didn't really, you know, in fact, as many people as we saw now, and it did not last as long. So I thought that since the Dow was new high and the coronavirus is out there, SARS knocked Chinese GDP down 1%. The effect of SARS was a 1% knock in Chinese GDP because that's where it started. So while I was getting pictures of cities, whole cities in China that were vacant, and I thought, okay, if SARS knocked down 1%, Corona has the, you know, chance of knocking it down a lot more, even though SARS didn't last that long. And so I thought, well, I would be at a new high. I don't think the market's really pricing in what could happen. And remember, I've always said the markets will reflect reality eventually, but it's the day-to-day movements, so just the opinions of all the players in it at any one given time. So I'd put that out there. And as approved by regulators previously in the show and the show before that, we went, we unloaded quite a bit about 3 weeks ago. And case in point, the market was falling and rising and falling. And then the World Health Organization, a week and a half ago on a Monday, came out and said, it's only a matter of time the CDC came out, and it said it's only a matter of time before it hits the U.S. and spreads in the U.S. And bingo, when they said that, the Dow started from new high, which is 29,005 something, to a 10% correction in 6 days. 10% correction in 6 days. 10% correction of the Dow would be minus 10% of where it was. So the new high was 29,500, and so 10% correction would be 2,900 points thereabouts. And, of course, it's continued to go down. It's down about 3,500 points from where it was. And then that whole week was brutal. Where before we normally see fixed income like bonds and preferred stocks go up when stocks fall, giving you some sort of a protection like a teeter-totter, Tuesday and Wednesday saw fixed income sell off fast too. And so when we see what happens is when the market sells off immediately, we usually see fixed income rise historically. Never guaranteed, but historically. And then Tuesday and Wednesday fixed income fell, which told me that this was, you know, real serious, and that my prognostication that the market had not priced it in was basically coming to fruition. And now the market is definitely pricing it in. You know, just yesterday we had a 1,200-point gain in the Dow, which was largest point gain, not the largest percentage. In fact, that didn't even make top 20. But point-wise, it was the largest gain. And a couple days before, had 1,140, which was the largest fall point-wise in the Dow. So a fellow advisor in my office says, man, I feel like I'm getting whiplash. What was yesterday? It was up, I don't know, yeah, 1,200 was it yesterday? Crazy, crazy, crazy. Now, down 1,100, California declares a state of emergency. That's the reason that they're saying this is happening. And where China was 1% GDP when SARS hit, China was the fifth largest economy in the world. It is now the second. And so we're going to see, I can comfortably say, I don't think anybody would have a problem with, we're going to see a hit to Chinese GDP. And we're likely to see a hit in United States GDP. In fact, GDP all across the world will be hit. And some things out today that are new, we've got 95,000 cases now. We've got a 3.5% mortality rate. So it's not as deadly as SARS, but it is very, very infectious from what we hear. And we had Diamond Princess and then the Westerdam cruise ships. They were quarantined. And we had a lot of people get sick on both those cruise ships. And we had some deaths there. The highest concentration of population versus infected was on the cruise ship. And now cruise ship stocks and motel stocks and hotel stocks have reflected the anticipation of a hit in earnings. And now this morning we have another cruise ship. Now, we had a gentleman die real close to here in Placer County in California. Okay, he passed away. And he was on a cruise to Mexico about a month ago on this cruise ship that is now quarantined. He was on a cruise to Mexico, and he passed in Placer. And they came to the conclusion that there were many passengers that were on this cruise ship with him that are now on the cruise ship that is now stuck outside of San Francisco. They're not going to let him in. They're going to helicopter in some corona test kits. And news said today that there are people there that are exhibiting signs of the flu on that cruise ship. So another cruise ship is stuck out there. I can comfortably say I am not a fan of cruises. I tried a couple and I was not a fan. And, you know, nothing has changed my mind about that. And, you know, there's some gutsy people out there that take a cruise no matter what. And now they're finding themselves like the other ones stuck. From what I read, they're confining you to the cabin. Now, a lot of the modern cruise ships don't have inside rooms. But many do. And if you're stuck in your cabin, these cabins are not very large, as you would know. If you're stuck in your cabin for 2 weeks, you can't get out of your cabin because somebody told me they have guards roaming the hallways with no window. Ooh, I can't imagine what that would be like. Of course, there are people saying, coming out and saying, oh, cruise ship stocks are a great buy right now. And on CNBC, Yahoo Finance, Billionaire Sam Zell, Market Watch put out, also carried on Yahoo Finance. Billionaire Sam Zell, 3 hours ago, says he's buying at ridiculous low prices in one particular sector amid market volatility. So one guy is, Sam Zell at least, has come on and said he's going to buy in a particular sector. We won't touch on what sector that is. So we are seeing fixed income did stabilize and is now acting historically normally, where it's going up when the stocks are falling, but not all. We are seeing flight to safety trades, historically, but never guaranteed, regarded as cryptocurrencies, gold, and some other areas where people are flocking into. Gold has been up, again, I think it's up $32 today. So remember that nobody can prognosticate market movements at any time, and I cannot do that as well. So nobody knows what's going on. Warren Buffett, however, came out 2 hours ago. Market Watch also carried on Yahoo Finance. The headline: Warren Buffett's yardstick still points to a very elevated downside risk. So Warren is saying that he is more careful there as well. So we are now seeing that some American companies are telling their employees to, you know, telecommute and stay home. They're following the lead of what other countries have been doing. There were a lot of closures in China from some companies up here, the companies that have a lot of retail outlets over on China, you know, Starbucks and some of the rest have basically closed some locations and things of this sort. So we're also seeing from China, you're going to be hit on both sides of the supply and demand curve. In other words, we buy a lot of stuff from China. So it's safe to say that with China factories partially closed, that there are going to be shortage of parts. Now, we can say that some of the manufacturing has rerouted their parts supplies because of the tariffs. So, the conduits were already there to get parts somewhere else, but not all. Also, on the demand side, China being the second largest economy in the world has a demand for a lot of our products. So that would probably fall as well. We can already see the damage in cruising and hotels. They're all saying, they're going to see less hotel travel. I know that Disney shut down one of their facilities. So public places, discretionary spending, vacations, traveling would be areas that could possibly get hit pretty hard. We're seeing some of the airlines get pretty smacked. Some of the airline manufacturers are getting pretty smacked there. And so it's all along the supply chain here and all along the demand chain. We're seeing that this is, taking a bite out of the market. So the question goes, is it fully discounted now? You know, should you buy? Should you sell? Well, nobody can really tell you that. With the coronavirus making the mainstream news now, investors may be asking how much influence could the outbreak have on markets as the situation continues, right? As of this, when I wrote this article, there were 41,000 cases worldwide. This was about 10 days ago. Now there's 95,000, 3,500 deaths, and a lot of people have recovered. Of course, there last I read, there were no deaths from ages 1 month to 9 years. So it's not killing the very young. Most of the deaths, not all, have been concentrated in the areas of the elderly and the elderly with pre-existing conditions. Now, that's never good news when anybody passes. But I guess the news could kind of be worse, right? We could say, used to be a couple of weeks ago that all deaths have been in China, but that is no longer true now. There are deaths going on all over the world. This is a more aggressive strain based on the number of people infected compared to SARS. So just how far and how long the crisis will persist is an unknown. It's one of the reasons the market doesn't know what's going on, because in a tsunami or 9/11 or something of that sort, those are one-off situations. In other words, it happens and the event is over. But, the event could end tomorrow and the effects are going to be felt in the next quarter earnings and possibly the third quarter earnings. I've read articles that said this is going to be a year-long to two-year-long hit, not necessarily the stock market, but hit to earnings. because we're going on a month-long shutdown. People stop traveling. People stop moving. Money stops flowing. China had already been hit by tariffs. And then, of course, they had the Lunar New Year celebration. And that was kind of a no-show because people didn't want to travel. And now they were seeing that conventions are being canceled and schools are being closed. And, you know, the virus is definitely moving through the country now. And for every person infected, the current passing on rate of people that will be affected is 2 to 3 people for every one that's affected. Now, I can say that normally, from what I've read, is that warm weather does have a tendency to kill off viruses of this sort, and also that there could be different waves. We could see a wave, and then it slows down, and then another wave. And so it's the uncertainty we don't know. And I think, you know, as far as black swans refer to the rareness of a black swan. And the additional description in stock markets is it's unpredictable, it's out of the blue, and it's rare. So we're seeing a rare event. We had to see the Dow, again, we'll go from a new high to a 10% correction in 6 days. That was the fastest correction that we have seen historically. And so that's a milestone there. And now we're seeing wild gyrations, up 1,200 yesterday, down 1,100 today. So this could be what we call a climax bottom. We don't know. But normally, those that believe such things as a climax bottom is that things go in one direction until they reach a point where they start bouncing radically up and down and up and down. And so we have seen, you know, up 1,200 yesterday, down 1,000 today, and up 700 previously and down. So that is bouncing really wildly and uncharacteristically within the normal range that it bounces. So it could be a climax bottom, but we don't know. You know, we don't know. The bounces that we saw in the Dow yesterday and prior to could be what we call dead cat bounces. They're just bounces of speculators that are trying to guess a bottom, which is always dangerous, very dangerous. Doing daily updates on this. And in my opinion, this is not a market to fool with. This is not a market where we might put new money in yet. You know, there are people that are adding money in, and that'd be fine. I have some people that are adding money, and I can't really fault them for that. So we're just going to have to keep an eye on it for sure. I mean, this is really an unknown. And where did it come from? Well, we don't know. I mean, they said that it could come from animals, and it came from a Chinese food market. Other things that we've seen, that it was that a virus that escaped from the Chinese virus centers that manufacture these things for chemical warfare, biological warfare, because their manufacturing facilities is in Wuhan, China, and that is where the coronavirus, now called COVID-19, was suspected to originate. So a lot of rumors, a lot of speculation on what's going to happen, a lot of commentary. So it is, you know, it is kind of a scary thing, really, for sure. I've always said it's good to have stops in and things of this sort. So if this thing keeps going, at least you can lighten up. And lightening up is just accomplished by going to more cash. That's probably the best way to do that. So, yeah, we'll see what happens. I have another article here from Warren Buffett. Warren Buffett says he can't resist this bargain as he buys amid corona correction. That was 2 days ago, and then today he comes out and he says that downside risk is definitely there. And so other news out today, Boeing sends 10 workers home, cleans their factories. There's a lot of cleaning going on, a lot of disinfecting going on. We have seen some of the companies that make the disinfectants and the cleaners rise. Of course, the mask companies, we have seen some possibly rise. And there are some spots of the economy. Yields on the 10-year note have dropped to historic lows. So interest rates are dropping. Of course, the Feds came out a couple days ago and said they did an emergency rate cut of 0.5%. Now, when I saw that, okay, the market had bounced $700, 700 points, the Dow. The next day, the Feds came out and said they were going to cut rates 0.5%. That's between meetings. They usually wait at their meetings and then announce it. Also, The 0.5% cut was the first cut we've seen in a long time. And a 0.5% historically in the last decade or so is significant. So I said, wow, the Dow was up 700 points yesterday. Not yesterday, but when they had the rate cut. And I said, wow, I kind of feel a little strange about that. That was kind of, you know, like a panic. Like maybe it's worse than we thought. And I watched Jim Cramer of Mad Money and CNBC, popular media guy, stock guy. He came out and he kind of said the same thing. He said, you know, the Dow had popped 700 points the day before, and then they came out with a half a percent cut, the Feds did. And he said he felt the same way I did. He said, wow, it kind of made me think, whoa, maybe this thing is worse than expected. So a lot of times the remedies that the Federal Reserve thinks will help will actually possibly hurt. No one really knows what the result of all this is going to be, but we can comfortably say that it was definitely a radical move by the Feds. I've read also this morning that central banks worldwide are looking at a coordinated method to help support the economies. And I can say that, you know, I'm of the opinion and followed along with what Jim Cramer had kind of said, is that this is not a monetary, this is not an economic problem per se. It's a virus. And no matter how much money you flood into the system, people are still going to be scared. And so we're not quite sure, myself, Mr. Cramer, and other analysts, are not quite sure that cutting rates and making money available is the right way to go. Remember, the Feds only have, they're at a point and a quarter right now until they go to zero. And they think of the lower interest rates as ammunition. So if they were at 10, let's say percentage points on the interest rate, they'd have a long way to go to zero. And every time they lower, it's like a juice. It's like a shot of steroids. So now they're down to 1 to 1.25% on the overnight rate. And they only have a little bit left, 1% of rate cuts, and they'd be at zero. Now, they can go negative. And most people would say negative. Well, what's negative? Well, where you put money in the bank and you get paid 1% is where we are now, if you looked at the overnight rate. You know, negative means if you put money in the bank, big overnight institutions put money in their Federal Reserve or borrow from each other, you would actually lose a little money. So if you deposit $1,000, you might get $999.50 back. That's a negative rate, kind of backwards. And the reason they do that is because they don't want you to put money in the bank and sit on it. And they think that if you lose money by depositing money, you won't deposit it and you'll go out and spend it. So they'll also lower the interest rates that credit card users will pay. So, yeah, there you go. It's kind of a mess. These things happen. Most advisors will say that they just ride it through. Market always goes up in the long term. I don't really think that we should be allowed to say that. Nobody can prognosticate where markets will go ever. And so I don't know that this thing won't go down 50%. You don't know. Could it turn tomorrow and run up 50%? Sure, anything can happen. But I would think if you've got good gains, my thought is, you lighten up and try to retain those gains. Then when the market drops pretty hard, pick an entry point and you're going to get more stocks for your money. But the problem is, what do you guess the bottom, right? Right now it's just crazy, crazy, crazy. So we'll be back in just a minute, cover up a little bit more about this, what's going on. You're listening to show 304 called The Corona Carnage Continues. My name is Mark Cunabrudi on Money Matters on your community radio station. Right? Right.
Yeah.
And you're tuned to Money Matters. One of the things that, you know, kind of bugs me is the CDC, they sent a bunch of test kits. Heard some interviews on CNBC. The doctors were complaining they don't have enough test kits. The ones they sent out were wrong or something like that. And it's kind of amazing that here we are in the United States and we're not prepared for something like that. So the fact is the virus is spreading exponentially. That's what viruses do. Okay, they don't just go from one guy and then another guy gets sick and then the first guy gets well or passes or whatever. No, they spread exponentially. The numbers increase. So we did see when it first took off, it was rising pretty fast and slowed down a little bit. And now we're going to reach 100,000 people could be sick. So as investors, we must take things into consideration both pragmatically and at the same time with foresight as what could happen. I saw three scenarios on CNBC this morning. One, the benign scenario. Things taper off in April and things get back to normal. The serious scenario. The virus continues and we kind of get a handle on it late fall through 2020. And severe. The virus continues to spread and widespread panic grips the market and the world, and the world grinds to a halt. So we have to take things in consideration. Pragmatically, it is estimated that 42 million people fell ill during the 2019 flu season. 647,000 people were hospitalized and 61,000 died, compared to 3,500 that died so far. It's not so much the actual damage the illness might do to the population, no, but the fear that the virus does damage to economies and subsequently the markets they represent. You know, what are your odds of catching it right now? I don't know. But probably pretty slim. That may change. What are your odds of passing because of it? Well, 3.3%, but a lot of that number is the elderly. Actual damage to economies could just be a result of the fear, but it could be serious. And we are seeing, at least right now, it's serious to the stock market. We haven't seen any earnings yet, but I would imagine that earnings are going to be hit pretty good too. Actual damage to the economies is going to be happening because of this fear. And in fact, that China's definitely going to be hurt, and China's a big part of the economy, of the world economy. So with the coronavirus making the news, and it's all over the place, and everybody's preparing. In fact, I'm here in studio, and I see some disinfectant wipes here. We have to think, what could happen? So, you know, do you initiate stops in your account? Do you sell up a little bit? Well, if you're seeing your balances drop and it's causing you distress, then I would see no problem in lightening up if it's causing you stress. You should not have your investments make you sick with worry and keeping you up at night. Now, a lot of advisors will, you know, say, don't sell. You're too low to sell now. And, of course, you know how I feel about that. But I think some protection should be in there because we don't know. What if this thing cuts the Dow in half and you held? Well, if it cuts the Dow in half, 50% cut, and it sits at 15,000 in some time in the future, it has to double for you to get your money back. So even though you take a 50% cut, then it's got to double. But if you sold on the way down, sold some stuff on the way down, then you could always buy in at a lower level, if that's possible. The problem is, how do you know what the lower level is? So Dow's down 1,037. Are the Feds in the market? I've attempted to write a couple of articles about the rumored plunge protection team that the Fed will buy securities in the market. Okay. Now, the Japanese are allowed to buy securities in the market. Their government is allowed to do that, and they are. But it's not really legal in the United States for our government to buy markets. So there's rumors that there's a plunge protection team established by Reagan in 1987 to stop the markets from falling. Now, every time I've submitted an article to the regulators on that, they basically said you can't publish it because there's no proof. So I can't say that the plunge protection team exists, but I think it was Executive Order 18097. If I remember the number right, I could be wrong. So I can't say that it exists. But the rumor is that the feds will step in, and if the rumor is true, the theorists out there, the conspiracy theorists, think that the feds will come in and start buying equities, exactly, buying stock. Now, they did that theater in the 08 and 09 crisis. That was true. They said they did. They bought stock in GM and some other companies. So I can say that because they did it. And so they became bought stock in some of the public housing, like Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac and things of other sort. But we don't know what they're doing. We can say that Washington is not comfortable with a stock market setback because that would obviously not bear well for an election if it came to pass. On the election news, of course, Biden has taken a serious leap into the forefront. Not quite sure why that was. I think maybe some of the other candidates were a little too radical for the voters. So they picked the more apparently conservative looking person, which is Biden, you know, ex-vice president and the rest. Safer bet. And so that seems to be secondary to the coronavirus news. So it's definitely in the news, but most of the articles that I'm seeing, at least right now, most of the major articles are covering in the financial news networks the stock market sell-off and the various sectors that are getting hit, and some various sectors that are not getting hit that are rising, which I mentioned previously. So remember, nobody can forecast market direction. We don't know. You just don't know. And a lot of advisors will say, just stay in. Just stay in. It'll be over. I don't doubt that it will be over. Okay? It will come to an end. Whether it kills us all, it will come to an end. I don't know, nor does anybody else, how much damage it will do. And if it does a lot of damage, even more damage, it would be nice if we had some dry powder too. Pick up some stocks at a bargain. The only way you have dry powder, if you're fully invested in stocks now, dry powder is accumulated by going to cash. And again, this is not a recommendation for you to do that. But you would need dry powder to buy stocks if the market reached a point where you thought it was time to get in, right? So, there you go. We're going to watch the market as it closes here. Now, today is a Thursday. It's show day. Friday is generally thought, but again, not exclusively true, that if the markets close down on Friday, that is not a good thing, according to some. Some believe it doesn't matter. Like opinions, everybody has one, right? Like something else we can talk about, but I can't say on the air. So I am of the opinion that if the market closes down on Friday, that is not the most ideal situation. Is that over the weekend, margin calls will hit. Now, those of you who don't know, there are a lot of investors that borrow money from their brokerage firm or whoever to buy stocks. And if you do that, the company, brokerage firm or whoever that you borrowed the money from, when stocks continue to drop, they will ask for some money back. Let's say you borrowed 10 grand. You had 10 grand of your own and you borrowed 10 grand to buy stocks. If the market drops, they may come to you and you say, okay, you owe us 10 grand. We want 3 grand back because we're nervous. You're playing with some of our money. Those are called margin calls, okay? And they go out. And I'm sure with the market hopping all over, the brokerage firms are going, whoa, we better send out these margin calls. And they may be pretty adamant about collecting it quickly. Because remember, the brokerage firms could be on the hook for what you owe them if the market completely, implodes. they won't be able to sell stocks and get their money back. So margin calls will go out in a drop. And especially when you see these wild swings in the market, up 1,100 points, people think, oh, it's over. And they'll say, time to go all in. And they'll go all in and borrow money. And the next day, bango, down 1,000 points as we speak. So those are called margin calls, and they'll go out over the weekend. Anytime the market drops, there will be margin calls. And so today's Thursday. We'll see what happens tomorrow. Will the feds come in and rescue the markets? Well, if they do, they probably won't tell you. The Federal Reserve can drop rates more. The world central banks can drop rates more, and that they will tell you. But if the feds indeed are in buying the market, according to some rumors, then we probably won't know about it. We'll just see the market scat up. So we'll see. I'm sure Washington is talking about it. You know, they don't like to see this. They don't like to see this happen. It's not good for re-election, for sure. And so I'm looking at a bunch of boards here on stocks that are rising and falling. And it's all over the board. I mean, just all over the board. Got some going up, some going down. The majority of it is red on my board. But there are some things in the green. Like I said, flight to safety. Called a risk-off environment. Risk-on is like everybody's saying, okay, well, I got to go buy stocks. Everybody in. That's risk-on. Risk-off is like, oh, no, it's too risky. We're going to get out. Gold is up $33. Bitcoin is up 7.4%, at least as tracked by the Grayscale Bitcoin Trust. That's not the actual price of Bitcoin. That's just a representative fund. And I saw on the news today, financials are getting hit a little bit there. Bank of America's down 5.67%. General Electric down 8.37%. And so, you know, you could say that Boeing or General Electric, some of the airline manufacturers, you could see where, you know, if the airlines are getting hit, that they may want to not spend so much money on airlines. But you can't say that that's the only things that are going down. And if they're going down and have been going down, they may be good buys at the point. But again, I can't really tell you one way or the other. Business 1 hour ago, coronavirus update, 97,841 cases, 3,347 deaths. And, you know, what's always interest me, at least in this latest debacle, is what I call it, is that, in my opinion, I don't know what the cruise lines are going to do, because people are stuck on a cruise ship. I can't say what's going on there. Again, this is not a recommendation. They could be a great buy right here. I don't know. But I'm just thinking, I don't know how many people are going to want to cruise. But again, I saw a recommendation to come out and buy airline stocks yesterday. I think I saw one this morning. Looking for that. Yeah. No, I couldn't see it. I thought I saw it, but I didn't. Yeah, I did. Business Market Watch yesterday. Business Market Watch yesterday. The coronavirus has sunk cruise line stocks. Now it's time to buy. Well, if you bought yesterday, Carnival Cruise Line is down 14.33% today. So it's hard to look at headlines and go, oh, yeah, you know, we should do that because the article said so. Nobody knows. These experts don't know. So there you go. Okay, so you're listening to show 304. The Corona Carnage Continues. My name is Mark Cunabritti. The website is our way of saying thank you for listening to community radio station. It's moneymanagementradio.com. There's no charge for anything there. Past shows are on there and some news articles and stuff. We don't spam you. We don't sell your email or anything like that. That's just our way of saying thank you. And if you'd like to contact me, you just send a note to the program director at your station. Program director, it's pretty easy. I look up on the website. You can find the next show. Next show would be 2 weeks from now on a Thursday. We'll see what happens there. And let's see. Dow right now is down 1,065, 3.93%, off its low at 26,025. So we talked about those large numbers being support and resistance. We're over 26,000 right now. So as you see, it's bouncing around 26,000 even, because that's a support and resistance level. And we don't know what it's going to do by the end of the day, which is in 3 minutes. So I'll have to sign off before it closes. But my guess is that it's going to be kind of closing right there. I don't know whether it'll be under 26,000 or over. You might look at the end of the day and see. Dow's at 26,112 now, so it may close over 26,000. My name is Mark Cunningbrody. Remember, discussions in this show should not be construed as individual investment advice. Always consult with your investment professional before making important investment decisions. I'm an investment advisor representative through Cambridge Investment Research Advisors, Incorporated, a registered investment advisor. Indices mentioned are unmanaged and cannot be invested in directly. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. Investing involves risk. Depending on types of investments, there may be varying degrees of risk. Investors should be prepared to bear loss, including total loss of principal. My name is Mark Cunningbrody. Dow sitting at 26,112. Have a great day. God bless and stay healthy.